It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
Welcome back into the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia. This is like a throwback here in the Sports Bar because for years and years and years, we did Fairburn Friday with our buddy Matthew Fairburn when he was working for the old Syracuse Post-Standard and covering the Buffalo Bills. Well, Matthew's been on the beat for the Buffalo Sabres for a few years now, working with The Athletic and doing a great job joining us back in the Sports Bar. Buddy, it's great to have you on with us, and I wish we had, well, we have a lot to discuss. I wish we were talking about more uplifting things, but you wrote a great piece on the future of the Sabres organization at The Athletic that we wanted to dive into a little bit more with you. How you been, bud?
I'm doing well. Great to be with you guys.
Yeah, it's not a year where the Bills, or the Sabres, I should say, will be going to the playoffs once again, but Matthew, you talk to season ticket holders, you talk to the league office. We have this issue going on with Canada. I mean, what is the level of concern right now as far as where do we go from here on the business side with the Buffalo Sabres?
Yeah, I think it's something that in the background has kind of interested me all season long as, you know, even going back to last season after they had that 91-point season 2 years ago, they were right on the cusp of the playoffs. Everything was, you know, there was a lot of feel-good vibes around the organization and the roster. And when I talked to people around the league, there was, you know, just the thought that the Sabres were inevitable. They were going to get there. And they take a step back last year, but even as they took a step back early in the season, it was like, man, the attendance isn't all the way back. Like, these people really want to see a playoff team, and they want to see, they need to see it before they believe it. And had moments where the building was full, and we saw that a little bit this year as well. I think they have four sellouts, but I think when you see the results on the ice, the way they've been, 14 years without the playoffs is unprecedented in the NHL. It's a record that continues to go up. The Sabres own it, and they keep breaking it. And that's naturally going to wear on any fan base. And frankly, it's a testament to this fan base that it hasn't gotten worse than it has. You know, they're not the worst attendance team in the league, but you can only withstand so much. And in a sport like hockey, where you're so dependent on ticket revenue and the other revenue that comes from that, it does damage your business. And you see, this is a team that does not spend to the salary cap, hasn't spent, you know, over the last 5 years, they're the only team that has left $6 million or more unspent on their salary cap. It starts to, there's a broken trust, I think, between the team and the fan base. And it feels like this season is a bit of a breaking point for people. They had Lindy Ruff to sell last summer. And if they go status quo again here going into next year, I don't know exactly what they're going to sell. And they really have to hope they win, because I think ultimately that's the only thing that brings people back and makes this the type of hockey town that everybody remembers it can be. Everybody knows it has the potential to be. We see the TV ratings for the Four Nations and for the Stanley Cup playoffs. People love hockey here, but like as one person in the story put it to me, like this is a hockey town, but right now it's not so much a Sabres town. And that's sad that it's gotten to this point. And they need to recognize, I think, the urgency of that, because you can only put people through so much, especially when you're a smaller market that punches above its weight. You need to give people reason to buy in, and they've just done a lot to give people reason to check out.
Like any story, Matthew, and I think you would agree with us, it's never just one thing. I mean, losing right at the top of the board, but we have this other real-world issue that is impacting all sorts of businesses. Ask any visitors bureau in New York State right now. They're a little concerned about, you know, what may happen here as far as visitors coming down from Canada. You have Canadians selling their properties in Ellicottville, for example. What's going to happen with that Canadian fan base, do you think, whether it's just the Leaf fans showing up or Canadians just canceling their season tickets here perhaps?
Yeah, so the Sabres have, you know, roughly 7 to 10% of their season ticket base is, you know, Canadian, and that's a significant number. You know, when you're talking about, they're probably hovering in the 9,000 to 10,000 season ticket range right now, and when you have that low of a number in general, losing anything is not good. I think it will be somewhat case by case. It's interesting. It feels like sports might fall into a little bit of a gray area. You know, the data and the story that we had was roughly 70,000 fewer people crossed the border in Buffalo in February this year compared to last year. So we're still in the early part of figuring out what this is all going to mean, and a lot of it changes day by day. You know, the Canadian season ticket holder that I quoted in the story plans to be back and said as long as it's not so difficult to cross the border, which is a big question for people, is, you know, is there going to be extra layers to get through the border, and is the Canadian dollar going to be really negatively impacted? But there's also just the question of, will people feel like they don't want to spend their money here, right? It, like you mentioned, with people selling their properties or, you know, doing what else. The border crossing data suggests that there are people that will not want to spend money here, but do they view buying a ticket to a hockey game, you know, or buying season tickets to this hockey team as supporting an American company? Maybe, you know, there's Canadian guys on the team. Lindy Ruff's from Canada. They play, you know, if these are visiting fans, right? If you're a Senators fan and you're coming over the border, like you're supporting the Ottawa Senators in that case, but the money goes to an American team. It's an interesting situation for the league, but it's also unique to Buffalo. And maybe Detroit and Seattle fall into this like border town spot, but when you have 7 to 10% of your season ticket base, and then you mentioned the Toronto fans come down and fill up 70% of the arena, it seems like, when they play here in Montreal. People come over for the Edmonton game because Connor McDavid played in Erie, and it's a chance to see Connor McDavid. Penguins fans, you know, cross the border, like Sidney Crosby fans. So it's a big part of business here, and they, and unlike any other team, they play both national anthems. They broadcast their games in Canada on Fubo. So like, this is an important relationship they have with their Canadian customers. And it's an interesting situation that I think will play out over time, but there's no doubt that it's going to have some sort of negative impact. It's going to be sort of case by case. If that's how the Sabres have been handling it, communicating, you know, obviously if a season ticket holder calls and they have a long list of issues, right? Because of how things have gone on the ice. But if this is one of those situations, you know, the Sabres feel like they don't have a ton of control over this. They're not setting these policies. They're not controlling what's being said by the government, but they do. They control what they can control, which is playing the anthem, broadcasting the games, and having that one-to-one dialogue. And that is one thing I'll say that was consistent with people I talked to, is that they do feel like the treatment from their ticket reps is really good, and that relationship has been, that's been an important part of business for the Sabres, because keeping business is not easy when you're losing the way the Sabres have.
What about that home ice, Matt? Because for years, it's nothing new. You mentioned it. When certain teams come in, it feels like home ice is a thing of the past in Buffalo. It doesn't happen very often, where you have, you know, Leafs fans taking over the arena. And then on top of that, an arena that has aged out now. I know you have the new scoreboard, but it does feel like there needs to be some renovations. Where does that factor into all of this as well? And if you're a player for the Sabres, is it something that they talk about? Is it something that's frustrating that on certain nights their home barn doesn't feel like a home ice advantage?
I feel like it was more of a conversation last year and the year before, and this year maybe these guys have resigned themselves to it a little bit, or maybe Lindy Ruff did mention, you know, before the Leafs game, like, we got to take the crowd out of it. And it's like, man, yeah, this is a home game.
Yeah.
But it's the reality of the situation. And I think what they have been a slightly better home team this year. So I think they've been better about mentally handling what they're walking into each night, which sometimes might mean on Tuesday night there's 12,000 people there and there's not much of an atmosphere. Some nights it might be that, you know, not even just the Canadian teams, but like the Ranger game is sold out, but there's a ton of Rangers fans there, or the Penguins game, you know, there's a ton of Penguins fans there. They've gotten used to that, I think. And what I've noticed in my three seasons on the beat, and this is where it's a really good point by you, the home ice part of things, like when the building is full and it's rocking, like the Minnesota game a few years ago after the blizzard sticks in my mind. Yep. Like, for some reason, it was just like, and I'm sure it wasn't even hitting the level of like what it was like, you know, in 06-07 and back when they were really good. But that night I was like, man, this place is like nuts. And they fed into that and they played better. So there is this relationship there between the crowd size and you know, there's like, the bigger the crowd, the better this team plays. And so it's such a chicken and egg thing, right? It's like, you need to win to get people into the door. But like, if people came into the door, it would probably help them win more. And same goes probably for the spending, right? Like, you need to spend to ice a good team to get people to buy tickets. But if people bought tickets and the team was doing better financially, there might be more of a willingness to spend. So they're kind of caught in this vicious cycle in so many ways that they just need to overcome certain factors to win and get to the playoffs and sort of break that dam. Because I think we all know, if the Sabres are playing playoff hockey, you know, warm weather, late April, home games, like, the Plaza is going to be full. People are going to be going nuts. People want to be a part of that. And people take a lot of pride in Buffalo and supporting these teams. They want a reason to support the Sabres, and there's just been so few reasons to do it.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. in, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
For so long.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic is our guest here in the Sports Bar. Invite people to check out his article talking about the state of the franchise right now. And Matthew, I thought it was interesting that you have a quote in there from Bill Daly, basically the right-hand man, the deputy commissioner to Gary Bettman. And I don't think we're ready to call, or are we? The Sabres kind of on alert here. But if you had to say, all right, now that the Arizona franchise is, that's been moved up to Utah, I mean, where do the Sabres rank, I guess, in terms of most distressed franchises in the NHL? Is there any cause for concern?
Well, that's why I wanted to ask the question, because I think if you don't think about that, you're being somewhat naive. This is a strong hockey town, and it's one that the league cares about. Gary Bettman, in particular, cares about. But Gary Bettman's getting up there in age, and there is, at some point in the next few years, exactly how many years that is, I don't know, but there will be a new commissioner. Maybe it is Bill Daly, in which case some of that loyalty to Buffalo will remain. As you mentioned, like he's quoted in the story, he thinks it's a good franchise and a great market with committed ownership, and there's no concern whatsoever. I think one early hint that I think is positive for Buffalo is that the league is talking about expanding right now, which to me says they're not in a mindset of moving a team, right? I don't think they want to move a team out of Buffalo, because I think they know if the team does well on the ice, the market will support it and it will be a strong market. But they are the smallest American market in the league, second smallest market in the league behind Winnipeg. And when the alarm bells got sounded on Winnipeg last year, that's sort of what, sparked my mind to say, man, if you can talk that way about Winnipeg, and I know they've lost the team before, but that's a hockey crazy place. And sometimes, when the league is chasing these big markets, you kind of wonder in this day and age, like if they were starting from scratch, would a team go in Buffalo? But I don't think there's imminent cause for concern. I just feel like you can only have a situation like this for so long. I mean, they're really stretching it to the limit here, 14 years in the playoffs. And I do wonder what those season ticket numbers will look like next year and what that means financially. I mean, Terry Pegula does quite well for himself. We know he's not short on money, but he's building a new football stadium. He's investing a lot in the Bills. That team makes money, hand over fist, with the TV contracts and everything else. Like, they just need desperately to win. And I think, I did not expect the NHL to, come out and say that there was, any sort of concern, but I think it was a pretty strong statement that they're committed to this market. And I don't think it's something that's on the radar, but, if you can't get it right on the ice and it continues to hurt business, then, that's just something that you have to have in the back of your mind, I think.
Matt, what about Pegula? You mentioned him. He's acknowledged as the worst owner in the NHL. We hear the chance of sell the team. We've got a GM who's making excuses, although apparently has Terry Pegula. He wanted to be heard when he moved on from Botterill. He's got his guy in Kevin Adams, but Kevin Adams with the palm trees and the taxes and the disaster that was earlier this year. Any chance that this guy says, you know what, bit off more than I can chew, love the team, love the area, but there's a billionaire in waiting that wants to buy this team. Have at it. I'm out.
I don't think so. I mean, how many billionaires are out there that would keep the team in Buffalo would be my question.
Right.
I don't know. There's a lot of wealthy people that are eager to get their hands on an NHL team, but how many of them are willing to keep it in Buffalo? We've got the group in Houston, the group in Atlanta. I'm sure Quebec City would like to get back in the mix, but the state of the Canadian dollar makes it so that seems unrealistic right now. But you have these different groups that seem interested, but there's a group in New Orleans even that has talked to the NHL. But again, they're interested in bringing it to their city. And so I don't think Terry Pegula is really at that point. I have never gotten the sense that he is. Every time you ask, it's like, you know, this team's not for sale. But one thing I think would be interesting or worth exploring is the idea of bringing in some minority owners. And you see Pittsburgh doing that in the NHL. You've seen a few NFL teams do it, including the Bills. And in terms of injecting some capital into the team and getting some different voices, that would be a way to do it. But is he willing to do that? I mean, he bought the team for, what, $189 million? Like, pretty good investment considering what these teams are going for now. And he likes hockey. We know he likes to, like you said, be heard. And, you know, I don't know that there's a ton of urgency from him to sell the team. I think there is a frustration in terms of how he's perceived, especially considering it is kind of funny how you won't hear a lot of Bills fans really complaining about Terry Pegula. And then, you know, in that survey we did at The Athletic and in those owner rankings, I mean, he's, you know, voted the worst owner in the NHL. It's winning fixes everything in a sense, but there's also so many missteps they've made along the way that I keep thinking about that minority ownership thing and wondering if some additional voices and some additional capital might really help this franchise.
Are they being accountable enough to their customers here, Matthew? Because, yes, you hired Picuelli, but he's also in charge of the Bills and the new stadium and everything else. And correct me if I'm wrong here. Last time Terry Pegula actually spoke to reporters, that was right after Botterill got fired? I mean, do I have that correct, Matthew? Should we be asking to hear from Terry Pegula once and for all, hey, how do you fix this mess?
So, yeah, the last time he took questions from reporters was when he hired Kevin Adams. So when they, which was all happened at once, right? Firing Botterill, hiring Kevin Adams. And he did speak at Lindy Ruff's press conference, but he did not take questions. He just sort of gave a statement and that was that. I think you could definitely make the case that they're not accountable or transparent enough with their customers. And, you know, a few of the fans I spoke to, you know, one of them said that this is an extremely tone-deaf organization. Look, I'm not going to bang the table and say that Terry Pegula needs to answer questions from reporters to, you know, provide the level of accountability or transparency, but his name wasn't on the letter that went out to season ticket holders. That, to me, is a pretty simple thing. You know, he doesn't even need to write the letter. And Pete Coeli declined comment for this story. You know, multiple requests dating back a while. I've been working on this story for a bit. So, you know, I thought that was a chance to sort of speak directly to the fan base. And like you said, he also has the same title with the Bills. It's not totally uncommon, you know, that a team shares a COO. There's a few other instances of it with owners that own multiple teams. But the NFL is major business. They're building a stadium. You know, they have a lot going on. And so, you know, yesterday Pete Coeli spoke to a few outlets, or I think he spoke to the Buffalo News at least, about the Hallmark movie that the Bills are going to be in. And so it's like, I think that there are, you know, our Sabres fans that say, like, come on, like, what's being done here? What's the level of urgency, you know, business-wise and hockey-wise to kind of figure this thing out? And he went on the radio on Bills night, you know, to promote Bills night at the Sabres stadium on the Sabres, you know, radio station with Duffer and Marty. So, like, picking and choosing, I'm sure he'll speak at the owners' meetings, at the NFL owners' meetings next week. And I think there's opportunities there to be transparent, to be accountable, and maybe opportunities missed. And that stuff only matters, again, when you're losing, right? Like, that few of the fans I spoke to are like, I don't even need to feel respected as a fan. Just win. Show me I'm respected by putting a winning product on the ice. I don't care about the seats or the concessions or my season ticket discount or how long the players stay for the autograph night for season ticket holders. Like, you know, show me that you care by winning. And they haven't done that, so everything else gets magnified. You know, like Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams did a Q&A with season ticket holders the other night. You know, so they do some of those things. And Adams, you know, did speak to us in December. He didn't do a bang-up job of it, obviously. It did more harm than good. But, like, you know, he spoke after the trade deadline, and he did that event with ticket holders. So it's like there's been some level of it there, and obviously Lindy speaks every day. But, you know, from different levels of the franchise, people definitely feel disconnected and don't feel valued in the right way. And those little things matter when you're not winning. I think there would be maybe a different feeling if there was a little bit more of that connection.
Matthew, it's crazy that we've gotten to this point over as long as it's taken for us to get to this point. We've talked to a lot of Sabres reporters and people that are close to the team and asked their opinion. What would you do, Matthew? What would your opinion be as far as an off-season checklist here for the organization?
I think if they wanted to, I think back to 2016, the Bills. Kind of feels similar of, you know, the end of the Rex Ryan, Doug Whaley era, and they really started from scratch in their football operations. And it started with Sean McDermott, but then, you know, sort of trickled down to the front office, and there was sort of wiping the slate clean as far as culture goes. And I think that's where the investment really would help them. Look, Kevin Adams has had 5 seasons on the job, and the team is not really in a better place than it was even a couple of years ago. He's on his 3rd coach, and they're in last place in the Eastern Conference. Some of the moves he's made have worked out. Others, and some organizational philosophies haven't worked as far as rushing players to the league and you know, not bolstering the roster with enough veterans and not making the team tough enough to play against. And they're still the youngest team in the league. Like, you don't win very often when you're the youngest team in the league. Like, you don't make the playoffs very often with that setup. You don't make the playoffs very often when you have $6 million in unspent cap space, especially in a flat cap league. So that would be where it would start for me. It's different, obviously, than football, because coaches change so often in hockey that the culture change almost has to start in the front office with more experienced. And I'm not even talking about a GM that's done the job before, but just people that have come up through the ranks and, you know, kind of earn their stripes in hockey ops. Kevin Adams definitely skipped some steps there. And I think it's shown through in some of the mistakes he's made in roster building. So if they were willing to do it, look, it doesn't matter to me whether it's, you know, president of hockey ops or whoever else, like what the structure exactly looks like, but building out an experienced and strong, capable staff, I do think that the roster itself, it needs work, but it doesn't need to meet. Like, if you bring in a new GM, it doesn't mean you need to tear it down and start over again. There are pieces in place to make this a competitive team. And I do think they're in a pretty delicate place hockey wise when you consider it would be a risk to bring back, you know, the status quo, bring back Kevin Adams, bring back Lindy Ruff, and bring back the whole crew, because you have JJ Paterka, Bo Byram, Ryan McLeod, Jack Quinn, Devin Levi, all RFAs. You have Alex Tuch eligible to sign a contract extension this summer, 1 year left on his deal. These are big organizational decisions, and Kevin Adams even mentioned it after the deadline that he needs to just convince JJ Paterka of the direction that this thing is heading. And, you know, we saw all the Dahlin stuff that came out a few weeks ago, which I think was probably a little bit overblown, but ignoring the reality that that could happen, that these guys could get burnt out on losing the way the previous group of star players did, is dangerous. Like, that is a real possibility with any player that loses this long. So you've reached an inflection point here where these guys need to be convinced that this thing is heading in the right direction. And are they convinced of the GM's vision when it's gotten them to where they are right now? They hold a lot of responsibility for that, but they also, you know, look around the room and see all the young players and see, you know, the lack of veteran experience and the lack of moves that are made at certain times. And I think this is an important time for them to really sell some of these guys and convince them to be here long term, especially, you know, Byram's from outside the organization. You know, Paterka was, you know, kind of in the rumor mill around the trade deadline. So Tuck you know, his next contract could, if not be his last, it'll be one of his last, depending on how long of a deal it is. And, you know, we know how much he loves the area and loves the franchise, but does he want to sign away the rest of his career to this team? Like, you got to convince him of that. And, you know, can this GM do that? I have my doubts about that.
The Buffalo Sabres are testing the limit of how much suffering a fan base can handle. Matthew Fairburn, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Matthew, always a treat to talk to you, and thank you for filling us in here on everything going on in Buffalo.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Nice to have Fairburn Friday back here in the Sports Bar.
Yeah, and as far as the plan to dig out of this, Andrew, I think they run it back. I think the GM stays, the head coach stays.
Be a mistake. Be a mistake.
Right, but yeah. Don't you get the feeling?
That... Oh, we get the feeling that everybody's back. Yeah. Get the feeling that everybody's back. And just believe that that will be a mistake. I can't. It's one thing, like, if Terry Pegula, who wanted to be heard, is actually the guy pulling the strings, that Kevin Adams is checking in everything with through Terry Pegula, and hear things like the Sabres haven't spent to the salary cap, the things that we just discussed with Matthew, it's alarming. It's alarming. It's we talk about meddlesome owners, and it feels like we've all had our you know, like, we believe that maybe he's meddlesome, but you get some confirmation here that, yeah, no, he probably is meddling a little bit more than he needs to. And you've got a guy in Kevin Adams, Kevin with a Y. The Y stands for yes. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Whatever you need. I think it'd be a mistake. I like his idea. And I like the parallel. You know, the Bills' darkest days, they blew everybody out. They moved on from a lot of good players. They brought in a head coach nobody knew of. They brought in a GM that worked well with the head coach. And ownership got out of their way. You guys know what you're doing. Go do it. Why can't we have that with the Sabres? It feels like that's what's needed.
There's so many mistakes here, and one I want to point out, that Kevin Adams paid these guys too soon. Well, we're going to get them at a discount. You haven't won anything. You haven't made the playoffs. So it's a cast right now that it's going to be run back, kind of fearful. We've got time for your calls in happy hour. We'll switch it up. We'll talk some football.
Yeah.
I promise. 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
Happy hour next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.